Welcome to Dear Alice, a lifestyle approach to interior design. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dear Alice. This is a fun one for us because this is a normal podcast for those of you listening. Mm-hmm. But for those of you watching us on YouTube, this is the first one out of the gate.
Yeah.
Which is exciting. So you can see us sitting around a table talking to each other. Suze is here on the sketch pad, so she can help illustrate what we're saying. We're going to throw a few photos up while we talk, too. So if you've ever wondered what the visual of what we're talking about is, you can also check us out on YouTube.
Yes.
So
kind
exciting.
Kind of like AI, but it's my hand. It's real life.
Yes, it is. Okay, so let's get into it, you guys. What's going on? Okay. What are you obsessed with lately?
Corey. I am building a cabin in Bryanhead. Mm. And
tell the listeners what Bryanhead is for those that are not from Utah.
Yeah, Bryanhead is a small ski town in... Central, it's probably more southern Utah. Right?
Yeah.
It's by a city called Cedar City. Mm-hmm. And it's just this cool little like old school skiing town. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I are huge snowboarders. So we thought we'd like buy a lot there and figure out how to build on it. And there's a lot of challenges because it's really small still. There's not a lot of utility there, meaning like there's not like sewer lines and water lines and all of that. And so I've been like, there's 13 people on my same street. I sent them all letters and be like, hey, let's get a sewer line down. And then people are calling me like, hey, I hear you're the person to talk to about getting like sewer down Forest Drive. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, I was like, you heard right.
I know.
So yeah, I've just been like obsessed with that. Every free second that I have, I'm like,
Corey's now developing an entire neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's the mayor of Bryanhead.
I'm like, man, I'm going to move down there. I'm going to be mayor. And
that's
like
amazing.
Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly awesome. How it feels, honestly.
I love it.
I'm like,
you don't want your own septic tank?
I'd have to remove too many trees. Okay. And that's what makes my lot awesome. It's literally 100% like trees right now.
That's
and
awesome.
I just want my driveway and where my home sits. Mm-hmm. So if I do a septic, I'd have to remove like 30 feet wide and 100 feet deep.
Gosh.
So it's a lot of trees.
Yeah.
So that would just be a bummer to like look at that and be like, it's wasted, you know, can't park on it. It's dumb.
Yeah.
Do you know I'm on septic?
I did know that actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I had no idea that it was that big. I had no idea about these things that's underneath the ground.
Well, the soil up there is very, like a lot of clay. Okay. So it needs that much. So So yours is probably
Who knows?
Great.
Good soil. They were cowboys.
They were earlier settlers of Highland, Utah, where Suzanne and I both live today.
Mm-hmm.
She was probably one of the first homes in Highland.
Before it was Highland, it was county.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Shoot.
Yeah, so I'm dealing with, what was their names?
Parks.
Yes, yeah, I'm dealing with what they dealt with back then.
Yes,
that's fine. Right.
Yeah.
I know, RIP, man.
So I've been
that's a good obsession. Yeah, yeah, they're lucky to have you obsessed with that because you know how to get things done.
Bryanhead is a special project.
Yeah,
I'm so excited. Okay, we'll have to show progress pictures for the people.
For sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. Really cool. Yeah.
Sue, what are you obsessed with?
Emergency remodel. Sue is on like high alert right now.
Yeah. It's happening.
Well, it's still going.
Don't you think it's probably like 60% in or 50 at least?
So yeah, for
sure. I feel like the heavy lifting's been done and now it's like some of these last few subs that need to come in.
We're doing two bathrooms. The first one is probably like 70% done. The cabinet boxes are in. I am doing some revisions. Mm-hmm. That's the fun thing about designer is like we can't get enough change.
Yes, so, totally.
Anyway, we're working through that and the other one's going to start getting tiled. My little camper bath is going to start getting tiled and it's so cute, you guys.
So cute.
It's going to be really cute. So,
yes, we will share pictures of this on YouTube, or if you guys follow us on Instagram, check us out. I think ALID, our design account, is showing progress pics of the emergency remodel. So follow us on Instagram at Alice Lane Interior Design. You can also follow us on at Alice Lane Home. That's the store side, the showroom, the products we're creating and making. But
I know every time there's a hiccup, Tom's just like, think of all the empathy you're going to have with your clients. I'm like, fair.
So true.
I feel you. I see you. I hear you.
Yes.
Yep. Some of emergency remodel can blow for sure. But
don't you think that like a lot of the hard things in life are trying to build us so that we can be empathetic for other people in situations.
Absolutely.
Right? They make us really human. Yeah. So sometimes when I'm going through something really horrible, I'm like, this is to give me experience for somebody.
Yeah. You know? I was driving. This is totally off topic. Driving to work yesterday, running a little bit late, and then there's traffic, and there's hardly ever traffic. And I was like, man, of course. But then I just thought in my head, like, man, the people that are like up there in the car accident, worst day for them.
So sad.
I'm fine sitting in traffic.
I'm safe.
You know,
yep. I don't have to get a hold of insurance and figure out how to do all this.
Probably. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I get to listen to SmartList for 10 extra minutes.
Yeah.
So, it's great.
Yep. So,
totally.
So obsessed with change and just, I don't know, just the future of like the end of this project. And then I'll miss it, you know, and then there'll be another emergency remodel and like, and the story will continue. So anyway, but just change. It's September. So like things feel like there's a change in the air. I feel like fall is, this will air in November, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, just change in general. It's exciting.
About you? You guys, I took my youngest daughter to college last week. Actually, it hasn't even been a week yet. We dropped her off like 3 or 4 days ago. And it's been waterworks and it's been emotional.
I bet. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I think our first one was a little bit less emotional because she was going with friends and she had a boyfriend. They were all living in the same apartment and we knew that she was going to have people and she was like our first and not that far from home. She's like a half hour. The other daughter is 2 hours away from home and she went up with nobody. So I call it potluck where you just don't know what you're going to be living with, and she's going to be sharing a room with somebody she's never met before and in a whole new school in a whole new town, which is our alma mater where we went to college. So I was so excited that she was going, but man, was I emotional. It feels like an end of a chapter of being a mom, you know, that you're putting your kids out there and saying, okay, fly, you know,
especially because this time it's like, now you guys are empty nesters. You weren't.
Yes.
You know, so
totally. And so that's like, I find myself talking to people that are empty nesters and like, what do you like about this? Because for me, I've been like low grade depression. Like I'm just kind of blue. I'm kind of sad. Like there's nobody downstairs. I'm actually still doing her laundry of stuff that we brought up. And so I still in some ways get tricked into thinking that she's home. And then I fold the laundry and bring it down and I'm like, oh, shut the door. I can't see it. You know? Anyway. Yeah, it's been something, but we're figuring it out and we are excited about the new chapter for her. Cause when we talk to her every night, she's having so much fun.
That's awesome.
And she's a college girl, which is exciting. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. We'll live vicariously through
her. Yes. We won't talk about that anymore. That makes me tear up. But anyway, today's topic is regrets, design regrets we have in our own homes.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to have way more than you guys.
No, it's so funny because like even when we talked about this and we like started listing them out, I'm like, it's proof that we lived.
Yeah.
You know, like we leaned hard into a trend. It's the asymmetrical haircut, y'all. Like, you know, and so like a part of you is just like, no, respect that girl that was just trying her darndest, you know?
Yeah.
But like, was it a good idea? Probably not.
Yeah.
Not the best idea. So I'm excited.
Yes.
I think it's very good. I feel like every time we do something like this where we're kind of like the deep, dark secrets, like true Hollywood confessions, I feel like people are like, hallelujah, me too. We all have design regrets.
Definitely.
All of us have design regrets. And
yeah,
I think this will be a good one.
I agree. Should we get into it?
Let's get into it.
Okay. Suze, we have one of yours at the beginning.
We sure do.
What's one of your design regrets in your own house?
In my own house. Well, before we were in Highland, we lived in the attic, in the Provo attic, and we did like a really cute little remodel up in the kitchen. Like,
guys, the attic is the attic above Suzanne's house where she grew up. It's her mom's and dad's house. And there's an attic upstairs. It's like 1500 square feet or something.
Yeah, it's a decent size.
It's really nice. Yeah. Beautiful big kitchen, big living space, gorgeous view, and beautiful, lots of natural light streaming in there. So when you say attic, it's not like creaky and super tiny.
Musty or something.
Like anybody would die to live here and film a Nancy Meyers movie upstairs. It's so cute. Sure. So Suzanne, being the all-in person she is with design, is like, I'm going to just remodel this whole kitchen, even though I don't own the home. I'm just going to go ahead and do all the time
and learn somewhere
and spend all the money on this rental home because it's her mom's. And so with their own blood, sweat and tears, they put in a beautiful new kitchen that is a gift to your mother.
I know. And all the, like my nieces, everyone that's lived there, that's going to school down there because it's right next to BYU. It's 1911. Like it's really charming house. Anyway, so we do this house. Like at the time, it was like circa 2012, mm-hmm. I want to say 2011, 2012. And like we were seeing all like the white subway with the really dark grout. And I would say if I was living up there today, I would have probably torn it out and done a new backsplash. I think that the dark grout really timestamped it. Mm-hmm. And that was like, it was, I felt it hard. I leaned in hard. If you have white subway with dark grout, I think there's places for, I think it's charming, but it definitely timestamps it for that moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's just a regret that I didn't. And we always get asked that question. What is timeless? What is this thing that will like be evergreen and everlasting? And if you asked that girl, Suzanne, mm-hmm. circa 2011,
yeah.
if this is something I'm going to love forever, I would probably say, yeah.
Yeah.
You betcha. Subway has always been in style, but I think I would have just like taken down the saturation and gone, gone lighter. Maybe not bright white, but maybe a warm gray from Maypi or something.
Yeah.
So anyway, design regret number one, just like really dark contrasting grout. I think it just like timestamps you.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, good thing you'd moved out and
I don't have to
look at it. Yes. One of my regrets, actually, my husband brought this up. He was like, I would do a much bigger laundry room. So we built a home about 8 or 9 years ago in Highland. Yeah. And we just have this little laundry room off of our mud hall. And it does the job. It has a lot of cabinetry in it. Not a huge footprint, but there is just so much stuff that ends up going in a laundry room. Mm-hmm. It's hard to explain. It's somewhat of a junk drawer of, yeah. of a space. It's a
catch-all, for sure.
It is a catch-all. And so I think that there's probably a way in all my empty nesting that I could really take on the small laundry room and get rid of probably most of it and find a place for everything and everything in its place. But as it sits, there's like a pair of throw pillows on the counter and stuff hanging and gifts, you know, that need to be given and gift bags. And it's just, it holds a lot. The rags that you use for cleaning. And anyway, it's just kind of a conundrum. And I do realize I could use 2X the laundry room I have, like mm-hmm. 2 times the size. And I feel like if you're building today or remodeling, consider that mm-hmm. Because it really is a room where it's almost like a garage for the woman of the house or whoever does the work. If you're a stay-at-home dad, it's just kind of a room where you can keep extra tools and extra nails and band-aids, and it's your pharmacy. It's like
your tape. Where's your batteries? Where's all those things? They all end up in the laundry, the extra light bulbs that are like, so you don't have to go to the garage.
Yes.
You know, it's all in the laundry room.
It is. Yeah.
And for so many laundry rooms that we design now, like
they're not just for laundry. I feel like we need to rename
it's like a craft room.
We need to rename the laundry room a bigger, broader topic so that way in our heads, when we're building, we're not just thinking we're doing laundry in there. Uh-huh. That we're going to actually, this is like the Swiss Army knife
CEO's
of rooms.
Command center.
Yes.
Honestly, CEO of the homes.
Yeah.
It's the command center.
Definitely.
100%.
Yeah. So make it bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing that I would say that like isn't a regret, something that we did this last year for our laundry room.
Yeah.
If you are building and you're getting your own laundry room.
Yeah.
I really am a huge advocate of the 2 sets of washers and dryers stacked. Mm-hmm. It has like changed my life.
But you need to tell them how many kids you have and the phase of life that you're in.
Okay. I have 3 children, 3 busy boys, a lot of changing, a lot of costumes, a lot of Spider-Mans going in and out, right? And we're potty training. So at this moment, like I have a lot of laundry.
There's probably more than one costume change a day.
For sure. And there's like accidents and, you know, I peed in this one or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a
mess. And one of them doesn't even have teeth yet. And so he's probably needs a few shirts a day, right?
Yeah. And they're boys.
I know.
And they're boys.
Does this get you so excited? Is as empty nesters, what if every night or every whatever morning you had one that was just for darks and you had one that's for lights and you're throwing your darks in there and you're throwing your lights in there. And then at the end of the day, like after you shower, everything like is in there, you push go. They're both going, you dry them, you fold them all at the same time and you get to put them away all at the same time.
So true.
Anyway, I'm just like empty nesters or 10 kids.
Yeah.
Like it just like, just efficient.
Mm-hmm. So efficient.
I know. Anyway, yeah. I'm not efficient in a lot of things, but damn it, I'm proud.
You're good at laundry.
That we got the double.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. You got the good ones too. Yeah. It's my mom's favorite brand. Yeah.
That's great. Okay. Yeah. All right. So bigger laundry room. Mm-hmm. Design regret.
Yeah.
The next one was mine. I didn't intentionally do that. Like we each have one, but the brass finishes on like lighting and fixtures. I've learned since then so much. We've done a lot of development with brass.
Yeah.
And I would have made different choices. My wife loves brass, so I don't know if I probably would have fought harder for like polished nickel and stuff like that in the cabinets happening. That's if she's listening. but the, yeah, I probably would have chose better, some better finishes and been more critical of that. I look at some of them now and I'm just like, at least I can change it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fairly easily. So
brass is one of those finicky things though. When you do start to see them together, that's when you see like the major differences. Cause like not all brasses are created equally.
And in different lighting and up against, like I have the, like wall mounted ones in my, and the pink tile behind it, it's like together. It gives this weird hue on it. Like it's the strangest thing. It like pulls different colors out
probably
of it.
Looks like Moen polished nickel.
Probably. Yeah.
You heard that.
Which should be chrome. It's probably. Yeah. But yeah, that's one of them. I'm just like, and I'm going to eventually get them swapped out, you know?
Yeah.
Slowly but surely.
And I think
you're going to take those on up to the ski cabin and get yourself some fresh ones.
That's true.
Yeah. You're going to repurpose those.
Yep. Definitely.
Totally.
Yeah. Thanks. That's great. Okay, Corey, you have another one. Oh yeah, here.
This is my biggest regret in my home.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to like approach it delicately because I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings. Just the exterior, like the finish, like the paint color that was mixed with stucco, like totally darkened. So we were supposed to have a couple different paint colors on our home and in different areas, and it looks like we do, but it's all cedar key right now. And it's just like, I always say it's five different shades of cedar key and it is
shades of tan.
So frustrating to me every time I see it. I'm just like,
tell the people when you built,
2021 is when we finished. So every time I look at it, I'm just like, man, I wish I would have like taken more
50
control.
Shades of cedar key.
I wish I would have taken more control of that and just kind of like imposed my will. That sounds, I'm just kind of I'm a little bit of a controlling person, especially if I want something done a specific way.
Yeah.
So I wish I would have done that. There just needs to be more like dimension to the exterior of my home. And I get sad when I see it, but I'm like, hydrangeas are growing in. That's kind of making a difference. We need to get some hanging baskets. Some of those things that kind of like divert the eye, if that makes sense.
Jedi mind trick.
Yeah. So,
So sample people. Sample your colors.
Totally.
If you could change that regret and do it again tomorrow, what would you do?
I would have told the builder to like, I need to approve the cedar key sample. Cause when you see it like by itself, it's like, yeah, that looks, I mean, neat. But then when you like hold it up to something else, like it's not, it's always going to darken whatever color. If you're doing a stucco finish anywhere on the exterior of your home, mixing it with stucco is going to darken that finish or darken that color. So
that's interesting to note for everybody that when you're mixing stucco, you might want to click up a shade lighter on your paint deck.
Yes.
Because it's going to actually end up like the color that you want.
Totally. I told my sister-in-law that. I was like, watch out for that. And she was like, okay, cool. And they like breezed past her in that situation too. And same thing.
Cedar key.
It's darker. Yeah.
Damn it.
Wow. Yeah. Good to note.
No, yes. Same thing though happens with cabinetry. Like when you paint like cabinet, whatever, lacquer, or whatever. Anyway, it changes. It's not the same. If you like have your trim color the same color as your cabinetry, they're actually not the same.
Because the lacquer has like a gloss, a more of a gloss to it, so it reflects differently than a paint would. Because it's not necessarily a paint anymore. It's a lacquer.
So
you know?
You're not crazy if you're seeing two different shades.
Yeah.
It's a fact. So sample it.
Good to know.
No, that was really
good. Well, I have a pergola at my house. Do you guys know what a pergola is? It's it's one of those, like, some people might call it a trellis. I don't know. It's like generally beams that come off the back of your house over a deck or over a swimming pool or something. And then there's beams that hold it up. And usually at the end of these beams, they kind of have more of an angled shape or like a profile to them. Mm-hmm. So my architect, I live in a home that I said I wanted a beach house. And so I've got cedar shakes on my home and lots of white trim. It's kind of a Nancy Myers kind of movie, kind of house, white windows. And my architect drew on this two-story pergola off the back of the house. So the pergola comes up out of the grass and comes off, and it adds architectural interest. And I think the light and shadow is such a beautiful idea and the rhythm, especially on this style of home, which is great. So it was drawn. And I, at the same time, was building out a different store of ours up in Salt Lake City. So I would stop by the house. I didn't have a playbook on this house because I didn't have like a finished schedule or anything we do for clients' homes. I was like, I'll just stop by and babysit it on my way up to work on the new store. And then, you know, I'll stop by whenever the builder happens to be there and we'll go through a few of my notes. So Sistro drew the two-story pergola for me. So anyway, this somehow I had a two-story pergola go on the back of my house without me knowing what the material was and without me having any pieces and parts to say, here's what we're thinking and this is going to intersect with this. And here's the construction drawing of how we're interpreting what the architect has drawn. What do you think? Do you approve the materials, right? Nothing. I showed up one day and it was just done. And my builder, Alan, says to me, oh, hey, come. I want to show you how this turned out. And he's an older gentleman and he's like retirement age and beloved of the family and has built other of our homes for us. So I felt lucky that he was willing to take on my one last house before he really retired. So anyway, you can't like get upset. You're just grateful, right? Mm-hmm. And so we go to look at the back of my house with this two-story pergola, and he had approached or had worked with a vinyl fence company to create a vinyl pergola for the back of the house. And I was really careful to use real material. So I'm using real cedar shakes that I know I'm going to have to repaint every couple years, like just real materials, real wood windows, you know what I mean? So this vinyl thing is like, it landed from Mars.
It's like a sore thumb.
Yes. And it's shiny and plasticky looking and two stories connected to the back of my house.
Little white pickup sticks back there.
And they're just so small, the scale of them. And I feel like one thing we always work really hard at is getting the size of things right, because it just feels well built. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I regret my two-story pergola, but the good news is it's on the back of my house and I cannot see it unless I actually am walking through the forest behind my house and look back at my house. And I'm like, oh,
there it is.
There's that pergola. That's hilarious. Other than that, we don't really see it. So that's the good news.
Yeah, I think it's good to just laugh about the things. Yeah. Like,
and it's still in perfect condition because it's like maintenance free.
It sure is.
And indeed it is time to paint some of the things on my house white again. And I don't have to do that.
You don't have to touch the pergola.
A gift That'd from like my builder.
To injury if you had to like retouch up the pergola.
That would be. Yes. Okay. Other regrets?
Yes. Almost the same exact thing as the exterior. Is like the hood in my house was
the range hood above your stove.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Supposed to be a plaster. Mm-hmm. They did a stucco. I'm going to eventually plaster over it, but I'm like, I wish that would have just been done.
Yeah. They're not the same.
They're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if.
And what is the difference, Corey?
Stucco is just very like, it's like concrete. Like
granular.
It's just, and it just, it's too much.
Yeah.
And it, unfortunately, I feel like I do love the cabinetry that was built, a little bias because I built it, but it just like disrupts, like when you look at it, it just disrupts the rhythm of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it were smoother, I think like it would just kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
It'd be a little more.
So like, would you just say like, speak up the first time? Like you wish you'd done that with the exterior paint color. When the stucco was going on, were you surprised that it was stucco or did you approve it? And then you're like, oh shoot, I don't like how it turned out.
Done while I was at work. It was after we were in the home.
Uh-huh.
And when I came home, I just felt really bad.
Yeah.
Because I just trusted the people that were like the experts, like the Finnish guy. I don't know exactly what his title was. And so I just felt bad being like, hey, this isn't right. And I was just like, I know how to do it myself. So maybe I'll just go over it. Mm-hmm. It would have been easier if it was just like done the first time. Cause now I'm gonna have to put like extra coats on to cover the, like, just the really like graininess texture. Yeah. So that's a bumski.
Yeah. I will say I think one good practice, this reminds me, we went to California for a client, a new build that we're working on right now up in Northern California. And like y'all went as like the architecture team, the design team, everybody went up with the builder to kind of look around at examples of like what we wanted and to say, that's what we're looking for. Not that, but that. And stucco was one of those things. So like plaster, like we wanted it to feel more like a plaster and we found a great house and example. And we're like, that's it. And we brought the stucco guy and we said, this is what we want. He's like, oh, okay. You just do this, and this different. And you're like, so he probably maybe knew how to do it. Mm-hmm. It's just like, so just show, I guess, show visuals. But even if you have like physical samples,
yeah,
listeners, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Show them some physical samples so that you get it right.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the thing, is just like you spend money on these things.
Yeah.
Like it's time, it's energy. And like, then you have to live with it. Mm-hmm. when it's not done correctly, right?
Yeah. The other thing was I had sent a bunch of pictures to the framer of like, hey, this is the hood I want. And so they frame the hood and then I pull measurements off that for cabinetry. Yeah. And so I go there to like pull measurements and it was like not the hood at all. So without telling anybody, this sounds, I just felt awkward. I didn't know how to like talk to him about it. I like pulled that one off the wall, like uninstalled it and just went and built one and like, and they like came to the home the next day. They're like the builders like called me like, you like change the hood. I'm like, yeah, that's the one that that's the shape that I wanted. So I just like built it. Yeah. So I kind of felt bad already for doing that. And that was kind of like, you know, a little sensitive still. So I just like didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I would have.
Over communicate. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
That's what we just all need to do.
Yeah. Be very clear.
Very, very clear.
Yep.
And I should have been more clear at the start rather than, then it's not awkward, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause there's more than one ways to skin a cat. There's more than one ways to stucco a hood.
There is.
Sure. Yeah.
Is.
And you got the way you don't like.
Exactly. Yes. Lucky me.
Sorry, Corey.
I know.
You're up, Sue.
Okay. You guys, this is, have you ever done work for family?
Family, am I right?
Tell me how that went. My sister, Katie, who her family's awesome. I love her husband. The whole family's awesome. Anyway, this was in a home that they were at when they lived in Saratoga Springs. They've since moved, upgraded their home in Linden. But back in the day, you know, we're trying to like do things probably like on the less expensive realm, right? Mm-hmm.
And you did a great job on the house, by the way. It's the one with the corner fireplace, right? We've talked about it on the podcast.
This is before we went into that full remodel.
Okay.
You know, like once you get into like some like investment money that you want to like throw into your house, this was like before that. So when you do work for family, you're trying to be tender and cost efficient with their pocketbook. Uh-huh. So we need to do window treatments. And so we, my mom, me and my sister, we go to the fabric store and my mom's making it and she's like a child of the depression. So she is like frugal Judy, like that girl can like get a deal and like, will not spend more than like $5 on anything. So anyway, we go to this fabric store and we find a turquoise fabric that looks like church curtain, guys. Like there, do you know what I'm talking about? Church curtain. It is polyester. There is like no fold. It is just like heavy. My grandma had pants on it, like for sure in the 70s.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I'm just like, yeah, we could work with it. And I was too agreeable. And like, I think like the more we've done this, we're just like, there's no time to agree, guys. No time at all to agree. Like we gotta like, we're the expert, you know? So if you like, you know, expert or not, if you don't think it's going to be a good idea, speak up.
Yeah.
Speak up. Because like I had to look at those for a long time. I didn't live there, but every time I went over, I was just like, ah, the turquoise curtains. And my mom spent time on them and we still spent money. But even if you have to wait like 6 months, we should have just held out and found something better that wasn't on clearance. It's on clearance for a reason.
Yeah. The fabric.
The turquoise church curtains that have like, I can feel it in my hand. Like,
but you know yesterday. What wasn't on clearance was the labor.
I know.
Yeah. The time and the rods and the rings and all the energy and
She would do it again tomorrow. And my grandmom would probably feel sick if it was any more money than it was.
Yeah.
So just, and then find a different work room.
Compromise.
Find a different work room.
That's all.
But just, I think especially like with something like that, that's so custom. Window treatments are so darn custom. Mm-hmm. And those turquoise. Katie, I'm sorry I didn't speak up. You guys had to live with that. I don't know if you knew you were living with such a sin, but you were. It was terrible.
Totally.
Yeah. Turquoise drapes, church curtain.
Darn
big
it.
Big regret.
One of my husband's regrets is the storage in our garage, which, you know, luckily nobody can see it. Like it's not the front of my house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Luckily like the pergola is on the back, but I think there would be something really nice about moving into a home and getting your garage storage situated because you really only want to move into that once. Yeah. Otherwise, it's a massive project to take it out, to get the right, even if you're just getting shelving from Costco like you did in your pantry or whatever, there's a million ways to skin this cat.
Yeah.
We just regret that we didn't do it then and we've accumulated just different tools for the yard and this and that and the way it's situated right now is just so sad and embarrassing that we're like, quick, close the garage. Here we go. We don't want anybody to see what this is, what's going on in here. It is not good. So anyway, I think, just getting, having ideas about what you're going to do there so that your storage can accumulate and there can be a rhythm to it.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that's always one of those things that's like at the end of the project too. So you're just like, I'm hemorrhaging
out
money.
And it's the garage.
Yeah. We'll epoxy it later. We'll just pull the cars out. But it's so much bigger than that. It's like the laundry room.
Yeah.
There's so much crap that ends up in your garage.
Yeah.
Your bikes.
So much.
All your rec gear.
So much. Yes. We're a three car garage and the full length and the full width of it, which is a lot of width. It's just all the stuff up against the wall. It's just a garage sale.
And it's like, you just barely mentioned the flooring or whatever. Cause I was like, yeah, I'll do that later.
Yeah.
It feels like moving, having to move all that stuff out. And then where does it go? Cause it's been sitting collecting dust for 3 years. Like I'm gonna bring it to my home. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, driveway, put it out in the elements.
Yeah.
Like maybe someone will take it. Get lucky, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. A new trimmer.
Oh, the regrets. Shoot. Yes.
That's funny.
Suze.
This is a fresh one on your emergency remodel. This is going to be a sketch. I will say this. Okay, emergency remodel. When you're making, this kind of reminded me of you when you were making decisions on your home. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And you're just like making quick decisions.
See to your pants.
And Grandma's socks are wet. There's a leak.
Yeah.
Hurry, Sue. Go to Floor and Decor. Find flooring.
Uh-huh.
And I just like, right when it happened, I was just like, okay, I have like 20 minutes before a meeting. I'm going to be presenting here. So if I run over there, I can grab the floor, throw it in the back of my car, get there. I'm going to go pick up my plumbing over here. I'm going to do mow and polish nickel. It's going to be totally fine because they're all going to be the same. Don't. Anyway, so I'm doing all these things so fast. I'm like throwing it up on CAD, my cabinetry. And I'm just like, and I told Tom that we had this like one tall tower and then we have a vanity. It's actually really smart. That was smart storage, Barbara Park for 1971, because there's no storage in these old houses.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I'll do that same thing, but I'll make it more shallow because it's too deep. A deep cabinet's where stuff goes to die.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm verbalizing all this to Tom and I'm drawing fast and I'm like shooting him off to all the subs. I'm like, get me quotes. Let's do this. And so I send it over to my cabinet guy, Pat. He's like, yep, got me a price. I'm like, cool, run with it. And then he installed the boxes. And I was like, damn it. I did not make that thing any less deep. That is like still like a deathbed for all of our stuff.
Oh.
Because most cabinetry is 24 deep.
Yeah, I was going to ask if it's 24.
And so the vanity is 24 deep, totally fine. My sink is like a nice sink. But like I could have shallowed back the top portion of the tower. I'll draw it in a second. But now I'm having to have him like uninstall.
It's much like upper cabinets in your kitchen, how they're only like
12 or 13. Yep. Or
yeah. Yeah. So then that way your countertop, you've got some space and you won't hit your head, right? Every time you go to grab something off of it. So uppers are always more shallow. Hers right now is drawn like an armoire where the uppers are in line with the lowers. Mm. And she just wants to set those uppers back on top of the countertop. So it's more like a hutch.
So,
you know,
that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. So my point being is that I regret not slowing down. Like I would never be this scrappy and like flippant with clients.
Yeah.
Ever. You know, you study it, you like measure 10 times cut once.
Mm-hmm.
But I waited until it was installed to be like, oh gosh, Pat, can you trim it down?
Can you uninstall that?
That's me right there. And I was like, oh, I'll just do it later myself. Like that's exactly what I should have done.
But like, something. It was just so sad. Cause Tom never says like, he's so chill guys. You know him.
Yeah.
Anyway. And he was, I'm like, what do you think? He's just like, kind of sad that like, we're just going to have the same issue we had before. That's a bummer. So it's like really sad. Cause he's not being an asshole about it. Like he's just being nice, Tom. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, this is my job. And I sucked at it, you know? And so then
you didn't
call Pat. And then I'm like calling the cabinet or the countertop people to be like, hey, you just templated. Can we do it again? Like, I'm going to cut this down.
Did you like doing that cabinet job? Cause I got a revision for you. Would you like to redo it?
Anyway,
I got what we call a change order in the business. That's going to cost me.
No, that's going to cost me. But it would have been a bigger regret had I not done that. And that every time I opened a door, a cabinet door flipped open because it's just too deep. You know? And I know better. And
it just looks awkward too.
Yeah. It looks awkward. And it's just like attacking you when you go into the bathroom.
Yeah.
And who wants to be attacked when they go into the bathroom?
Exactly.
Anyway, so regret was just like not slowing down. Because honestly, every single facet of the project, there's been something. Like we unboxed the toilet. Anyway.
Yeah, that's the next one.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm
Inspect
here.
Inspect what you purchase.
Inspect what you purchase, you guys.
Is one of your big pro tips.
It
so
sure
you won't
is.
Live with regrets.
I know. And we do this like with clients, like our warehouse guys, they open up boxes before they put it in the house. If it has a damage, we make a claim and we take care of it and order a new one. But like for, I didn't think that was going to be an issue with plumbing. Surely like the toilet's fine. Right?
It's never been used. It's in a box. It's brand new.
No one's used this toilet.
It was in a box and stapled, you said.
Stapled.
So really, truly never been unsealed.
Our plumber, our friend, comes over on Sunday. So like, just cause that's what you do. Anyway, he comes over Sunday and I'm like out running errands and Tom calls and he's just like, hey, the toilet, it looks off. And I was like, what? Like the salad was great. Da, da, da. And he's just like, no, you just need to get home. So I go home and they unbox the toilet. You guys, it looks like someone took a doo-doo in it. Like it looks so gross. It was just oxidized or something. And so I'm
it's had brown water in it. And I think you said the box that the toilet was in, they stacked them outside in the yard.
That's what I found out later.
It must have just been water
oxidized
that had been
or something that leaked into the cardboard that had like settled.
Yeah.
And then like created these anyway. But I was just like, we're so excited to finally like get some stuff going. They're just like, well, put it back in the truck. We'll take it back. Yeah. They're just like, so every single little thing. But if you just take the time to inspect the boxes, you know, and don't assume that someone else is going to do it, just do it yourself. Like just peek at it and be like, toilet.
Looks good. No surprises. Okay. It's the right style. Yep. Let's load it in the truck.
Crawling in there.
Yeah. Cause you brought it home and you put it in your, garage where it's covered. Yeah.
And so I thought it was totally fine. Told Marcos, go grab it, install it. And then.
So check everything. Yes. Before you install it.
It's fancy that I returned it on Monday and they're like 4 weeks out. So I can't even get a toilet for like another 4 weeks. I could go to the Home Depot and just like wash it.
Get yourself a toilet.
Principle. Anyway, whatever. Here we go. So
that's good.
Look at the boxes.
Yeah.
On anything.
Inspect anything you purchase.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. Even if there's like a little scratch, it doesn't have to be there.
Yeah. Especially if it's expensive and permanently installed, like a light fixture or a toilet.
Unless you got like a heavy discount and you knew it was there when you bought it. Like,
yeah, you signed off on that.
You deserve a new toilet.
You do deserve a new toilet.
This, she asked me, she's like, is it cleanable? And I was like, oh, hell no. No, we're not cleaning it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Susie's like, I bought a brand new toilet. I want to install a brand new toilet. Isn't
it from NPS?
Yeah, totally.
Give me my toilet.
Yes. Anyway,
emergency remodel. I feel you. I hear you. People that have dealt with this.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
The next one is, before I say this one, I actually love my home. I know that I'm like complaining about it, but I really do. I remember this one vividly. So I was working, doing like finish work at the time. Uh-huh. And so I would like leave work here and then I'd go there from like, you know, 6 until 10 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I got there. So I was by myself. Everyone worked all day. And I stood there and I looked at the mantle and there's a seam. Mm. The way they laid it out, I wish I just would have like, hey, like, the base should be one piece and then the top, but they did it side by side and put it together like
a sandwich.
This. Yeah. I was like, and I remember thinking like, gosh, damn it. Like, this is exactly why you hire a designer. You know what I mean? Cause they would have been here doing that. Like, I've seen that. And I was just like, it is what it is. And then there's one part of it that's even like, and this, my OCD is like bugs me so much. It's like shifted just like an eighth of an inch, but I can see it. And I'm like,
and you just stare at it.
Yeah. And I just look at it all the time. And I'm like,
it's a nervous
and clench your teeth and ball your fists and oh, that's frustrating.
Shoot. Yeah, so it's like next time I learned a lesson, you know.
Brian Head's gonna be flawless.
Yes. Yeah, it is. No, I mean, yeah.
Take that mantle up to Brian Head and get yourself a fresh one.
<Here we go. laughs>
Yes, that's what Brian Head is for. It's the graveyard of all of your regrets in your own home. I feel like we wanted to do this episode because I don't even know if somebody maybe asked us to do it, but just to illustrate, we all have regrets. Those of us that do it professionally, we still have mishaps. We trust the system too much because we do it all day and then we work too hard, too fast, and then we forget something or just a few of these little things where we're just saying, just fix it right the first time, right? Corey's probably like, I should have never brought the mantle home. I should have tweaked it before I brought it home, right? Like, I should have opened the box. Yep. I should have communicated better. It's some of those things that are a little bit preventable or you live and learn, but you're still like, but fix it before you permanently install it because that's when it gets hard, right?
Yep.
Sea of regrets.
Yes. Sea of regrets. Yep. Yeah.
Before we end though, we just wanted to tell people that we now ship to Canada. Did you know that?
Yeah.
We're international.
Guys, international.
international. Yeah. Isn't that great?
Yes, that's
so
awesome.
Exciting. Yeah.
So all our listeners in Canada, go to AlisonHome.com.
They've been asking for it, and we finally got it going. It was a goal of ours in this year. So yes.
Next step, Bahrain.
The website is the website's www.alicelanehome.com. And one of these days we're going to get international shipping for all y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But we're starting in Canada.
Okay, Australia.
Our friends up north, as we say.
Exactly.
Yes, definitely. Thanks so much for joining us today, you guys. We will catch you next time. Hey, thanks for listening. If you like our show, please leave a 5-star rating.